Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones, Sean Carey with you on this Thursday, and are we ever set up for you for the next week? Greg Pickle from Penn Live and the Patriot News. We're going to talk about the concussion case today, so we'll touch on that. Josh Getzoff of the Penguins Radio Network is going to join us as well. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi on the Preakness. Scott Fransky, the voice of the Phillies, tomorrow. Tuesday, Chris Spielman, Fox Sports. Wednesday, Doug Gottlieb, CBS Sports. Also coming up on Tuesday, John Solomon of CBS Sports. And we will try and get a guest for you next week to appease the suit on the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
That's why we packed and stacked these other guests to kind of divert from that. But yeah. Even though there was no show yesterday, we were working. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you got two-thirds of them.
We're cooking.
He did. Sean got two-thirds of them. I mean, I got one-third. And we'll take credit for DJ and for Solomon. And
as you would say, sometimes a squirrel gets a nut. So.
Pickle.
I won't let it go to my head, though, I promise.
No. No, I mean, it's with this, you got to keep going every day. I mean, there's no break in this. Each day, you try to put together a compelling presentation that makes people say, okay, well, you got that coming up. Oh, you got that. Wow, can't wait for it.
Yeah, we learned earlier this week Chris Spielman leaving ESPN to go to Fox. So we reached out to Chris, and he'll be with us next week.
So the way it's going to work is this. Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News today. We're going to talk about the concussion case because he has talked to the attorney involved. So we're going to start there. We're also going to have Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Network. I actually have Josh the next half hour, and then we're going to go with Pickle in the 4:06 half hour. Also coming up tomorrow, Dick Girardi on the Preakness. He is in Baltimore. He arrived at Pimlico today. We'll talk about Nyquist going off at the moment as a 3-5 favorite. Scott Fransky, the play-by-play voice of the Phils, on the amazing start of the Phils. So that's tomorrow's show.
Yep, we'll have Fransky at 4:35 tomorrow afternoon.
And we're going to have Dick at 4:06 tomorrow. Then on Monday, and of course tomorrow's show is going to be brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Monday's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. And we'll have Chris Spielman on that show.
Yep, we got Chris Monday at 4:06 locked in.
All right, John Solomon of CBSSportsLine.com, the college football writer, is going to join us on Tuesday's show.
We look forward to hearing from him to get a little more into that concussion story that they got in depth with earlier this week.
Yeah, on that, but also he wrote a thoughtful story on Penn State football and where it is right now. Story changed a little bit. He had come in earlier to do the story. Story changed a little bit, obviously, with the recent events. But we will get into that with him. So a lot of ground to cover with John. And then Wednesday, Doug Gottlieb from CBS Sports is going to join us. And in order to keep the suit off our back, we may enlist the suit to help us lock up somebody to talk about the Indianapolis 500. It may be a guy from Sheetz. I don't know.
They're going to say we're the Seawolves Grove Speedway. Just down the road from the Seawolves Grove Sheets.
just trying to keep it alive here, brother. Just trying to keep it alive.
We are.
Okay. So, he sits back and he says every day, deep down, I think he misses the show.
Oh, I know he does. I know he does.
Yeah. And deep down, the audience does as well. But in some areas, they don't drill for oil that deep. No, I'm just kidding. That was a great setup to the joke. I really did. I thought the setup was exceptional. Come on.
The challenge is being original each time and keeping it fresh.
So, he's sitting in some back room going, oh. And we're in the exact same suit he wore yesterday. All right, so.
It's Al Scranton last night.
364 people there.
Outstanding.
That's huge. And Joe Moorhead was great last night. I think the fans there got a lot out of it, listening to Joe. And it was impressive. And he gave a great presentation. We had a great time there last night. A lot of fun. Next up for me is Tyrone. I'm speaking to an all-sports banquet next Wednesday night.
So somebody from Old Forge popped on our Twitter account. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. And he mentioned, did you have a challenge heading out there yesterday?
A challenge?
Yeah, did you have a challenge? Was it a challenging drive to get there? Just curious.
The construction.
Okay.
Is unbelievable. So I had a little fun, lads, because normally it would take me about 2:15, 2:20 to get there. You know, under normal conditions.
Yeah, one of our Twitter followers is Dave Lucas. He is from Old Forge, and thank you, Dave. He said, "Hope the drive back to State College went better than the ride up." I got concerned. I was going to hope they didn't break down. I was worried about you. I read that.
Oh no! It didn't break down. It's just. For example, I got to the Lewistown exit on 80 for 15, and I was stopped and just had to wait because everybody trying to funnel through. I think they were working on a bridge. There's also a 9-mile construction area that's between Lamar.
Yeah, it's right to the Lock Haven. It's right to the Lock Haven exit. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's 9 miles. That was 9 miles of pure excitement. And then there were several others along the way. And then I didn't even get to 81 yet. So a trip that takes me 2:15, 2:20 took me 3 hours and 5 minutes. And so I got up last night. And, you know, you have to have fun with this stuff. So I got up and I explained it took 3:05 to get there. And I looked out, I said, is there anyone from PennDOT in the crowd? I said, let me ask you this question. As someone who's driven in a lot of other states, I said, why do you have to block off 50 miles of road, I said, to repair one section? just wondering.
Now, is it you and Coach Moorhead in the car together, or were you flying solo?
No, because he had to go to Richmond and then Darien, Connecticut, and he came from Darien to Scranton while I came from State College. Now, we both drove back to State College last night. We both drove back to State, but not together, you know, because obviously he had a car already. I mean, we walked for a little bit, you know, talked for a little bit in the parking lot, and then, boom, had to take off, go our separate ways. But and then he's out recruiting again today. So he had to do that. So, it was just the length of time it took to get there. It took me 2:45 on the way back. So on the way back, I listened to the Penguins game, the third period. Then I listened to the third quarter, and then I listened to the last three innings of the Red Sox game. Then I listened to the last quarter of the Golden State game, and then I listened to plane crash coverage for the final hour. That was the trip back. I have a great time at all these things. I really do. Now, do I remember the good old days when, for example, Joe would go to this and he'd say, "Hey, why don't you come on the plane with me?" And the flight was 22 minutes? Yeah, I remember those days. Sure I do. But you know what? You know what's amazing about this? Obviously, when you get the job, you know, you've achieved a big goal. Now the next part is attempting to be good at it. And as time goes, the one thing I don't think you realize as you do it is that you appreciate the job more and more. And you never thought you could appreciate the job more than when you got the job. Yet I find myself here nearly a couple decades later appreciating it and enjoying it more than I ever have. I enjoy the appearances. I mean, it was all about Joe Moorhead last night. All right. It wasn't about the fact, you know, I've done this for 17 straight years with them. But, I mean, you're the MC, you're the traffic cop. But Joe's presentation enthralled the crowd, and that's what it was about. But I just enjoy, you know, there's so many people up there that I see, I know now, know by name, talk to them, have a great time, and it's just great to be out there. I'll do the same thing. You know, now, Tyrone will be different. I'm actually the featured speaker, just to let you know how desperate they are. But you know, I enjoy doing the job and appreciate it more than ever. And that's something where, you know, when you want it and there's a journey to get there and then you get it, you feel like that's the moment where, oh, okay. Right? Then after that, okay, I'm going to have to work hard to whatever. The one thing I didn't expect was that, you know, nearly 20 years later, appreciating it and loving it more than I did the day I got it. How about that? So I enjoy going around and seeing this. Now, nothing compares to game day, but that's what I found to be interesting about that. So, yeah, I can kid around about how long it took last night. I mean, look, I got there at 6 o'clock. I was still 90 minutes early. How about that? Okay, so nothing was held up. I was still 90 minutes early. I mean, I built in plenty of time to get there. And I just had a great time with it. Oh, by the way, a Jennifer Wakeman moment. Did you see this?
Please share.
Muirfield, which has hosted 16 Open championships. I'm talking about the British Open. Jack Nicklaus won his first British Open at Muirfield. Phil Mickelson won his Open at Muirfield. The membership voted, and you needed two-thirds to pass it, to continue their policy of not allowing women. So the RNA, the Royal and Ancient, declared today they're out of the Open rotation. I am complete. Now, I realize as a club, and it's their club, it's their course, it's their membership, all right, they can vote any way they darn well please, but the Royal and Ancient is also well within its rights to say, we'll stage our championship wherever we darn well please, and you don't meet our criteria. And I wouldn't stage it there either. And the reason I brought up Jen is Jen and her husband Brad both love to play golf. And we played in the tournament 2 weeks ago yesterday. The reason I don't understand at all why Muirfield did what they did, and look, I mean, for all we know, the vote was 55-45, yes, but they need 67%. We don't know what the vote was. Is that she's in our group, and all we did for 4 or 5 hours is laugh and have fun and hit golf shots. It didn't matter. It didn't matter to me whether it was Kevin hitting the shot or Jen hitting the shot. We're all just having fun. I don't understand the mentality of, well, we're just going to be exclusive. I understand that. Can't be fun to have women playing golf on the course? I can tell you right now, I just went out and played golf 15 days ago with a woman in our group and haven't had as much fun. She's a blast to be around and great to play around the golf with. Just fun. So I don't quite buy that kind. It's not 1920 anymore. And guess what? In 1920, they would have been wrong then too. So, okay. The RNA was right to do what they do. Hopefully they'll reconsider Muirfield. I mean, my goodness, Augusta National didn't open up until 2012. So, it's 2016. The RNA was it. Then there's the Mickelson story. This is wild. Have you read the Mickelson story?
First person I thought of was Martha Stewart when I read that.
Except the difference is he's not going to be indicted. I think essentially what they're saying was that it was an inside trade for him. He knew he'd get some money by doing it, but not $931,000. I think that's what, if you read it, that's what I think. In other words, he thought he'd get something because it was a great tip, but never to the extent he got. So he's got, he has to pay back, including interest, $1.03 million, which I guess he's in the process of doing now. We'll tell you about that story in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Penn State Pitt game, as expected, is going to be a noon kickoff on September 10th, and if you're saying we expected, the Pirates are playing at home that night. They could not play the game at any other time except noon.
Yeah.
They're not allowed. They can't go head-to-head.
And I saw Pitt says bringing back the script logo.
Good for them. The excitement level is going wild in my mind. Coming up, Josh Getzoff, Penn's Network, then Greg Pickle on the concussion lawsuit. Josh, next half hour. Greg, 4:06 half hour. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Josh Getzoff in a few moments from the Pens Network. They were impressive last night. Again, this has really opened up for them. And they are now starting to take advantage of it. They look good last night. We'll talk to Josh about that. And then next half hour, Greg Pickle. We'll talk about the concussion lawsuit against college football. He's done a lot of work on that. Cy Young, on this day in sports history, in 1910, picked up his 500th win. I'll tell you, sitting in the ballpark that day, Sean, was emotional for all of us.
1912, American League President Ben Johnson told the Detroit Tigers that if they continue to protest Ty Cobb's suspension, they would be banned from baseball. 1935, the NFL adopted an annual college draft to begin in 1936. I believe Jay Berwanger was the first one selected. Let's see. Paul Wehner, then with the Boston Braves in 1942, became the third National League player to get 3,000 hits. The Flyers in 1974 became the first post-67 expansion team to win the Stanley Cup. They won the Cup again the following season, too. If I recall, it was Rick McLeish on a deflection that beat Gilles Gilbert. And the Flyers beat the Bruins 1-0 in Philadelphia to win the Stanley Cup. And they won it 4-2. Edmonton Oilers won their first Stanley Cup on this date. They beat the New York Islanders in a 5-game series. And that is this day in sports history. And we'll stay with the theme of hockey for the moment. Well, I know, you know, hockey's not the hot, but we're in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. So with that, we can have some hockey talk on here and have some fun with it, because the Penguins are playing that well. I'm sorry, when you look at the Penguins, they just play really well. So let's bring in Josh Getzoff. And Josh, it looks on the surface that over the last six periods, the Penguins have gotten back to playing their game. Fair enough?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you've watched this series and you watch game one and you listen to what the Penguins said, there was a lot to be positive about, I think. Maybe that they just acknowledged the fact that there may have been a little bit of a letdown after coming off that emotional series win against the Washington Capitals and then having to turn it around just a couple days later to get ready for, quite frankly, an extremely different opponent in the Tampa Bay Lightning on all levels, from a rivalry standpoint, from a style of play standpoint, just a totally different situation. And there may have been a little bit of a letdown there. And with that being said, they still put up 35 shots to Tampa Bay's 20 in game one and lost 3-1 because the Lightning were pretty opportunistic in that contest. But I think then you look at what's happened here these last couple of games, and the results speak for themselves. And quite honestly, Steve, I think if Andrei Vasilevsky had not stood on his head the last two nights, these scores would have been pretty lopsided in favor of the Penguins as far as what went down here over the last two games.
In fact, I made that point earlier in the show. Last night, because I had an event in Scranton, Joe Moorhead was the featured speaker last night. But driving back, I had Sirius on, so I had the Tampa. So the option is you either have no game or you get the Tampa Bay broadcast. And Dave Michigan and Phil Esposito were saying that Tampa Bay's goal was to take the shot differential and dramatically close it, if not reverse it. And, Josh, they never even came close to it last night. Never even came close.
No. Yeah, it wasn't close at all. I mean, it was actually really impressive because you look at the first 5-10 minutes of the game, and as expected, I think Tampa Bay came out with a lot of jolting back on home ice, and that arena, they've really made it a tough place to play. They have really built a home ice advantage in there, and it was interesting. I was saying last night on the pregame show that Tampa has lost once in the playoffs on home ice, but they've only lost once on home ice, including that playoff loss, since March 31st. Right. Going into last night. So they've been pretty dominant at Amalie Arena, and they came out, and obviously I think people expected the push that they had off the bat, but lo and behold, the Penguins, about halfway through that first period, they had a couple good chances from Patrick Hornquist and Sidney Crosby, and then that HBK line that's taking the league by storm right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs kind of flipped the script there with a big shift, as always, in the first period. And really, from that point forward, the Penguins seemed to carry the play, and especially there in the second period. I mean, outshooting them 21-6 on their home ice is, as John Cooper said after the game, pretty inexcusable from the Lightning's perspective. But you got to tip your hat to the Penguins because it wasn't a fluke based on what we've seen in this series.
What, if any, difference do you see in Phil Kessel right now that maybe we didn't see in January or February?
I think the biggest thing, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it already. I don't know if you've seen the interview last night with Pierre McGuire, but it's been obviously making the rounds with a little bit of a laugh after the game. Pierre asking him if he caught his breath. I think he was meaning to ask him, but he asked him, "How's your breath?" And Phil Kessel responded, "Pretty bad, eh?" Just kind of joking around. So if you missed that, I'm sure it's all over the internet. But what I see is a guy who's really having fun right now and enjoying himself. And I don't know if you could necessarily say that, but when he was in Toronto, I think he liked the city of Toronto. I think he liked everything that came with being a Maple Leaf, but maybe just the outside voices and everything that goes on with being a Maple Leaf kind of got to him during his time in Toronto. And he's been very vocal about the fact that he loved that city and he loved the fan base and all that stuff. But I think there was a transition period coming to Pittsburgh. I mean, he was in Toronto for a better half of a decade before he came to Pittsburgh. He had to get adjusted to a new city, certainly a different kind of situation just from a city standpoint than Toronto, a different kind of organization than the Maple Leafs in the sense that you're coming to a team that has Stanley Cup aspirations as opposed to a team that was just trying to kind of stay afloat and stay in the playoff hunt in the Maple Leafs. And obviously he's found his niche here with Carl Hagelin and Nick Bonino, because he's been tried first by Mike Johnston, then by Mike Sullivan, to work with Sidney Crosby, to work with Evgeny Malkin. And you know what? For whatever reason, it wasn't clicking for him, and he's found a rhythm here with Hagelin and Bonino. And to be honest, it makes the Penguins that much more dangerous, because Now they have that scoring threat there on that line. And I even hesitate to call them a third line, because they've been referred to that a few times in press conferences, and Mike Sullivan will correct the reporter and say, "Who's the third line?" He doesn't really tip his cap as far as numbering his lines. And I think it makes it really interesting for opposing defenses. And you're starting to see John Cooper and the Lightning really struggling to get their matchups going, because obviously they want to have Victor Hedman on the ice as often as they can against Sidney Crosby. And that's fine, but then they have to figure out who they're going to put out against that Hagelin, Bonino, Kessel line. And a couple times, actually, Hedman was out there against that line last night, and they still had their way with him. Right. So it's really interesting to see how things have developed here. And that, to answer your question in coming back full circle, I think Phil Kessel is just a happier guy right now, enjoying playing hockey. And why shouldn't he be? I mean, that line's just been so entertaining to watch.
Kessel was to Toronto in terms of expectation by the fan base what Crosby is to Pittsburgh. I think that's fair enough. Is it possible that Kessel is thriving right now because he doesn't have to be Crosby or Malkin?
Oh, I think that has a lot to do with it. And we've had those discussions on the air as well, just in the sense that maybe he's better when he is the best player on his line, in that kind of a sense. You know, because when he's with Sidney Crosby or with Evgeny Malkin, maybe there's that pressure to get them the puck, that pressure to have to work alongside them. When you're playing with a really good pivot in Nick Bonino and a guy who just can freewheel with anybody in the league in Carl Hagelin, I mean, that kind of opens up space and allows him to play a style that I think he's more comfortable with too, because Bill Kessel's speed is pretty underrated. He may not look like the most fleet of foot just physically, but he can move, as we saw last night on that first Penguin goal, just flying down the right wing and really blowing past Victor Hedman, who's probably one of the top four defensemen in the National Hockey League, to set up that goal that Carl Hagelin eventually scored to get the Pens on the board there late in the second period. But it's been really impressive to watch him kind of find his way with the Penguins. And there's no doubt he underachieved in the regular season. And I think maybe we gave it a little bit too much of unrealistic expectations, some people calling for 40, 50, 60 goals if he was going to play with Sidney Crosby. But at the same time, I think there was more that we did not see from him in the regular season that we're now seeing in the playoffs. And the reality is, he's a clutch performer. He's now over a point per game player in his career in the playoffs, 37 points in 36 career games.
Matt Murray, I felt the greatest beneficiary of the Crosby overtime goal was actually him, because I'm wondering what they would have done had they not won game two. But what did you think about his performance last night, even though he did not face the heat Vasilevskiy faced?
Yeah, he made some key saves early. I agree with you. He definitely, as far as the two goaltenders are concerned, definitely had the easier night. I think that's safe to say. And really, the last two games has had the easier night compared to what Vasilevskiy's had to deal with at the other end. But Matt Murray made a couple big saves early in that game last night, as we talked about. I mean, the Lightning came out with a ton of jump, and there was actually an opportunity. I want to say it was maybe less than 5 minutes in. Puck came out to Anton Strahlman right in front of the net, He got a shot off, and that's a guy who, it's been well documented, has been burning the Penguins every chance he's had against them. And Matt Murray was right up and on top of his crease, makes the save, and shuts the door there to what could have been a big opportunity. He also made a nice stop on JT Brown later in the first period off a rebound in front. I think he's made key saves here over the last two games that maybe get lost in the shuffle with how dominant as far as possession and shots the Penguins have been against the Lightning. I mean, you go back to game two, after he let in those two goals, that the Lightning had come back and tied the game once the Penguins took that 2-0 lead. We all remember at the end of the second period, Brian Dumoulin had a pretty bad turnover outside the attacking end, and that sent Alex Killorn in on a breakaway with about 15, 20 seconds left in the second period in a 2-2 game. Matt Murray makes that save. You're still tied to two going into the dressing room, and the Penguins really controlled the third period and overtime before winning it in game two. I mean, he's made some big saves. It's almost being, I think, we were kind of laughing about it last night on the pregame show. It's been, and postgame as well, it's been overshadowed by what Vasilevskiy is doing, because Vasilevskiy's been tremendous. Unfortunately for him, he's been the one tagged with the loss the last two games, but it's certainly been entertaining, I think, to watch two goaltenders that were drafted at Consol Energy Center in the 2012 NHL draft. Yep. The first goaltender drafted in that draft was Vasilevskiy.
Yep.
Murray was the 10th goaltender picked in that draft, and now they're going head-to-head in the Eastern Conference Final. It's definitely not how I think either team wrote the script, but that's the beauty of the playoffs.
All right. Beyond just keep doing the same thing, just give me a quick script that makes Friday night successful for the Pens.
I think you got to make sure that you know you're going to get a big push from the Lightning
in
the beginning of this game, because they don't want to go down 3-1. They know if they have to come back to Pittsburgh 3-1, it's looking pretty bleak for them as far as the series is concerned. So I think you're going to get their strongest push, and you have to make sure you weather that storm. You have to make sure you keep the puck to the outside and the defensive end for that 5-10 minutes, however much it is. And I think that, I know this sounds pretty simple and elementary, but I think the first goal in this game is enormous. The Penguins are now 8-1 in the playoffs when they score first. The Lightning are 6-1 in the playoffs when they score first. So both of these teams, when they get the first goal, they know how to lock it down. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the team that scored first in both of these, or each of these games so far in the Eastern Conference Final, has won the game. So I would say the Penguins have to weather that storm early, try to get the first goal in this game, because it would put the Lightning in a situation where they have to push the pace, or at least attempt to, which is something they haven't been able to do successfully through three games. They've turned the puck over a lot, and the Penguins, to their credit, have forced those turnovers. So you get the first one, you weather that storm early. Yeah. I think you kind of set the table for what hopefully will be a 3-1 lead coming back to Pittsburgh.
Putting the beach within your reach with the Summer's On Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. The month of May, buy any in-stock 2016 Optima, Optima Hybrid, Forte, or Soul, and pay nothing for the summer. That's right, nada, zilch, nothing. In fact, your first payment won't be due until October. With Kia taking care of your first two payments and 90 days deferred payments, you get up to 5 months before your first payment is due.
But that's not all.
You'll also get 0% financing for up to 66 months. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride to your vacation destination and no payments to make. The beach is in your reach with the Summer's On Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Ward, and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars and sticking more cash in your vacation fund for over 100 years.
Tax extra. 0% APR financing to all qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Well, thanks to Josh Getzoff, Pens Network, for joining us. The Penguins leading it now 2-1 over Tampa Bay, with Game 4 tomorrow night at the Amalie Center in Tampa. Tonight, it's the Sharks and the St. Louis Blues at the Tank in San Jose. That series tied at 1-1. Cleveland and Toronto tonight. Cavaliers won big. They'll win big again tonight. The Cavaliers will sweep the series. Golden State stunningly looked like Golden State last night. It's amazing how that happens. And they will now go to Oklahoma City tied at 1-1. Joe Moore had fabulous last night in Scranton. And he did a terrific job. He talked about playing fast. Mentioned essentially that he was asked about the ability of the quarterback to change plays. He said, look, he said, they put in 20 hours a week, which includes lifting, meeting time, practice, things like that. He says, I put in 80 to 100. He says, I think there's a certain way we ought to go. It's a dictatorship. He said, speed is going to be really important. There's going to be a really good battle, and I mentioned this the other day. There's going to be a really good battle for the right tackle spot between Paris Palmer and Noah Bay. Andrew Nelson's going to stay at left. I mean, he didn't talk about this last night. It's just something, you know. I could tell you. I mean, Andrew Nelson's going to stay on that left side. He and Bates together. That's a pretty good combo over there, I think. And you have two quarterbacks in McSorley and Tommy Stevens that fit how he wants to play. In fact, this is the offense that Tommy Stevens ran in high school. They are out there hitting the road recruiting-wise. I know one area he's been looking at in particular has been tight end. So this is... yeah, it's big night. They had, 364 people there last night. It's pretty good. I mean, I haven't seen that many people since the Suits goodbye party. It was really...
What's your attendance streak there? Pushing 20 years, isn't it?
17.
There you go.
They mentioned to me about the possibility of an 18th. I said, yeah, sure. So I'll do it. I'm having more... I know some of the day-to-day news on this thing. Okay. I know some of the day-to-day news that we've all experienced over the last 4.5 years. There have been some days where you're like, oh, where there's no let-up to it. But that doesn't mean that overall I don't enjoy the job more than ever, because I do. I mean, I've been sitting there. I mean, do you know what I've been doing for the last month? For the last month, I have been going through each Penn State football opponent and putting the charts together for the coming season. And I've gone through each Penn State basketball opponent going through the charts for the coming season. In fact, I only have four more teams left. I have to do one quick one on Northwestern basketball. And then after that, I have to get Ohio State, Purdue, Rutgers, and Wisconsin for basketball. And I'll be sitting there before Memorial Day with all my charts done and up to date for the coming season. You can't really have great success at something unless you have the juice and the motivation and the enjoyment of it. I don't like sitting there having to put it all together the week of the game. So I do all the basic stuff. What's your career high in this, career high in that, your height, your weight, your hometown? That way that stuff's done. So when I get to the week of the game, I can concentrate on practice, concentrate on tape, and really enjoy the week.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.